Go with me to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. This is where we've been starting this series on faith, and this is part 4. But I want to say something before we get into this series. A mature Christian, somebody that's stable and sound in their faith, sound in the Word, sound in the right ways, is not going to be somebody that's going to heed gossip. Amen? It's not going to be somebody that's going to hear through the grapevine some things or, you know, be told by somebody else that, I don't care how close they are, you know. How many of you know, you ought to check with your pastor on some things? Yes. Amen? You ought to check, what is the person saying? Are they saying the Word? I'm utterly amazed at people that can be with you and can have their lives changed and can see God move in their life, can come. And then they hear things from other people. They hear rumors or different things from other people. And then they're gone. They disappear without a phone call or anything. Hallelujah. You know, if somebody's gossiping and if somebody's starting to spew things out of their mouth, that's bitterness, grudges, rumors or things, that you ought to understand that's not a good source to be receiving what's coming out of there. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. You know, if I come up to I'm thirsty and I come up to a spigot and it's old and rusty and dirt up on the inside and cobwebs all over, I'm not going to be apt to get under there and receive that water from that place. I'd have enough sense to think, you know, what's coming out of that might not be that good for me. And I say this because I know people are watching. I know people still watch. Hallelujah. And people will pull themselves, and you're here, but I'm just telling you, heed the warning. People will pull themselves out of the plan of God because of what somebody else said. You know, as a pastor, I have to deal with people behind the scenes, right? And there's sometimes I have to correct people. And there's sometimes I have to tell people you're living wrong, and if you don't knock it off, you're out of here. Yeah, and you know when that happens at times? People start talking. And then people that are friends, people that were close, people that came, they hear about it, and Pastor Mike must have. Well, how do you know it was Pastor Mike must have? I'm just trying to help people. When God puts you in a church, He doesn't take you out because of gossip. He doesn't take you out because of rumors. Hallelujah, I'm just telling the truth. And of course, I won't say names and different things. But you know what, some things are going on and things, and people still watch and hear because people are nosy and people are still curious and things. But it's like when you're planted in a place, you ought to protect that. But also understand that the devil's going to do anything that he can to rip you away from that place. Hallelujah. I wouldn't care. I'll just give you an example. If the closest person that I don't care if my spouse turns their back, I'm not leaving the plan of God. Amen. Yeah. How much less than a friend or an acquaintance all of a sudden, right? Yeah, check your own heart. Yeah. Don't just, a sheep is supposed to be led by a shepherd, not another sheep. That's the way I'll say it. And there's sheep trying to lead other sheep, and there's sheep that would be considered ignorant to be led and listen to other sheep pull you out of the place that God has for you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what I don't have time for is when someone, I appreciated the other day, someone got a hold of me and they had, someone from another church had needed some help and they'd started reaching out to them. But the other person immediately started just complaining about that pastor. I said, oh, I don't need to hear this anymore. Nope, Hallelujah. Because I'll tell you this, I'm not perfect, but I'm fair. And I'll give people, and I know that a good pastor is a fair pastor that just tell the Word. I can't help it if people don't like my correction. I can't help it if people don't want to get in line with it. But the people that are listening to other sheep, maybe you ought to think, maybe the source is off. Maybe there's not something to the whole story here. How can you sit here and put yourself under a pastor for multiple years and then just up and leave without even saying anything because you heard something from somebody else that's not even the shepherd?
Yeah. Come on.
You are putting your life in danger.
Yeah.
That is a warning from the Holy Ghost. And I'll just say this, the person that spews, that is a spewer, you're putting your life in danger. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the truth. It's the truth. Praise God. God didn't look too kindly on it when Moses and Miriam were running their mouth, or not Moses, but Aaron and Miriam were running their mouth about Moses. He didn't like it. Hallelujah. He didn't like it. And I am so sad at people that have been called here, led here, planted here, and then things happen, people get corrected, things have to change, and then they tell and they spin it their own way, and then you don't even see the people. They don't even have the courtesy to call you. You don't be like that. If God placed you here, protect that. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm not saying if the pastor gets off and thing, listen, I understand that, but we're not talking about it. We're talking about correction and different things. Amen? Amen? Well, that was fun to say, but it needed to be said. Hallelujah. That when you're praising and God's showing you faces and God's showing you people that have children and things that are just completely left where they're, because they've heard from somebody else. Somebody said something. It's like, oh my gosh, where in the world in the Bible does it say that? Hallelujah. Well, that's why I'm always thrilled with a church that follows the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will keep us safe. The Holy Ghost will keep us safe. Praise God. You know, it was amazing, our Wednesday night services that we've been having, and some of the specific words that have gone out. Just the Holy Ghost, how much in tune. He, you know, I don't know, how long is it before you and John started talking before you got that word? Less than a week, I had prophesied over Julie on our Wednesday night service. Out of my heart, the Holy Ghost spoke that the dam's about to break for her. Well, a couple months later, she's hitched. And if you're wondering who this strange man is, he's a family church guy. He's from Pastor Tim's church in Jamestown, John. But it's just amazing some of the specific things on healing and things that we've had. And it's just what? Being willing to follow the Holy Ghost. And so when the Holy Ghost says those kind of things, I'll just be honest. I'm not a confrontational person. I don't enjoy it. You know, growing up, it's just not who I am. I shied away from that stuff. But when it comes to saying what God is saying, you got to say it. And I'm worshiping and I'm seeing faces. I'm like, you know, they haven't been here in months. And the Holy Spirit, by word of knowledge, showing me the connection of what everything is like, oh, okay, that makes sense now. That makes not even a phone call. Not even a phone call. I love you, Pastor. Really? Do you love me? Do you love me? I love you, Pastor. Thank you for everything. Really? Are you sure about that? Praise God. But anyways, thank you, Holy Spirit, for keeping us safe. We heed these things. We know gossip and rumors and things. That's not our leading. That's not what we go. We ought to be big boys and big girls and go to the pastor and say, Pastor, what about this situation? Not just up and uproot our families. My goodness, the danger behind that. Father, I pray that people's eyes would be open. I'm not angry at anybody. I'm not even angry at people that are out saying it. I pray for those people. I pray that their eyes would be open, that they'd understand how dangerous that is to say those kinds of things, to do those kinds of things. Father, I just want people helped. But Father, we're here now to be helped by the Word. So Lord, I thank you that this is the plan for your service. We dealt with some things, and now it's time to minister the Word. And Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Father, open the eyes of our understanding that we may understand and know the hope of your calling. May bullseyes be hit tonight. And Father, we just declare your plan will go forth in this place. And Father, we know we're plowing, and sometimes the ground has been hard, the ground's been rocky, the ground's been not cooperative and difficult, but we're just going to keep plowing. And the Word always works, the Word always wins. And so we thank you. We're going to the other side, we're going into more, and we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, Mark 5, verse 25, is where the woman with the issue of blood. But we're going to drop down to verse 34 for time's sake. In verse 34, at the end of that story, at the woman with the issue of blood, I know you're all familiar with this. Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And so we've just been saying at the beginning of each of these services that look at what faith can do. Look at what faith can do when you're actually a person operating in the principles of faith. It can take things that are off, it can take things that are missing, take things that are lacking, and it can fill the void, can't it? It can bring wholeness. It can bring wholeness to bodies. It can bring wholeness to minds, emotions. It can bring wholeness to finances and families and different things. Faith is so powerful. And the reason faith is so powerful is it's because God that moves in our faith. And God is all-powerful. He's the almighty El Shaddai God. And so faith is so powerful because God is on our faith, praise the Lord. And so we want to be people that are operating in the principles of faith. That, you know, when Jesus said, daughter, you are in faith, he was locating her. And evidently, there were a whole lot of people that needed things, that were struggling. Wow, they were thronging at Jesus. They were just, I want to touch you, because I need something from you, and we've heard, you know, but they didn't show up. And there's a lot of Christians that show up with the right thing. There's a lot of Christians that are showing up, and they need things, but they're walking away empty-handed time after time, year after year. Why? They're not people of faith. Jesus wouldn't be able to look at them and say, wow, I'm impressed with your faith. And so thank God for these stories in the Bible, these principles that show us how to get in faith, because faith is our part. It's our part in the world of how to be successful, how to be victorious. We can't do it apart from the force of faith. And so what a merciful display of gratitude and kindness that God would give us faith, but then teach us how to be in faith, what it looks like, how to get into faith, what the principles are. And so that's what we've been looking at. In the first 2 weeks, we saw what it was, and then we saw where it is. We began to see where it is, and we're going to pick that up this week. Go to Romans 10 and verse 8. Go to Romans 10 and verse 8. It says in Romans 10 and verse 8, but what saith it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we'll stay on verse 10. But we saw last week that faith is in two places. And we won't take time to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, Paul said this, having the same spirit of faith, I have believed, therefore I've spoken. And so in that verse, he told us too that faith is in two places, believing and speaking. And we see here where the belief is located. For with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confesses man to salvation. And so it starts in the heart, it's released through the mouth. And we talked about this, that for faith to be alive and well, for faith to be something that is active and is working, it has to be in two places, doesn't it? And it has to be in your heart. And we saw last week how we get it in the heart. In Romans 10, 17, if you just drop down a few verses, it says that faith cometh. Faith is belief. Now remember, verse 10 said belief's in the heart. So belief cometh, or belief is found in the heart, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the way that we get faith in us, because so many people are quick to want to release faith or to release words that maybe don't have faith in them, the way we get that to those words to be faith-filled is by first making sure that it's coming from the right place. And that's by the Word of God. And we talked about last week the meditation in the Word of God, that if you'll spend time in the Word, the Bible promises in several passages that if you'll give yourself to the Word, right, that something will happen. Prosperity and good success. Whatever you do will prosper. Health and life to all your flesh. All different things happen. Why? Because when you give yourself to the Word, faith rises up. And when you get faith in your heart, it gives you something then to release out of your mouth. And so hopefully, if you're going through something, you're facing something, that's your first place to start, building up faith in your heart. I like to use myself as an example, tell on myself. I don't just tell good testimonies. There's a lot of stupid things and silly things that I've done and failures and mistakes. But, you know, I always talk about my big $2,000 a month testimony. Well, I wasn't big bad faith man. When Pastor Michael first said, I'm not giving you a salary, I was worried. I was nervous. I was afraid. It was a number that to me was bigger than God at the time. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. My faith wasn't there. Because all faith is belief. Yeah, right. And if you're worried, all worry is just a demonstration of what you really believe. And when I was worried, I was believing $2,000 was too big for him. It was too hard for me to overcome, too hard for me to handle. And so I knew I wasn't going to sail. There was no natural way out. Faith was the only way. Well, I didn't struggle with getting faith. I didn't wonder how it's going to come. I didn't have to try to think, how can I be stronger than $2,000 a month? I just did the word. I gave myself to the hearing. And I began hearing over and over and over prosperity messages, Pastor Nancy messages, Pastor Michael messages, Brother Hagin messages, the word on finances. And miraculously, the word worked and faith rose up, and then $2,000 a month didn't seem like anything to me. Ah, that's small potatoes to God. That's pocket change to Him, isn't it? It's so simple. If we could start seeing things through our Heavenly Father's eyes. Think about that. Think about your situation. He's not panicked by what you're going through. He's not troubled by the amount of money or the doctor's report or the thing with your children or the thing with the job or the economy and how it's affecting you. He's not up there confused and nervous and losing sleep. He's got the answer, praise God. And if you'll get in His Word, you'll start to see things from His perspective. Because you'll get the faith of God on the inside of you. And so that's where we start. But it doesn't stay in the heart. What's the fun of just loading the gun if you're not going to shoot it? Amen. Hallelujah. Caleb has become obsessed with shooting guns. Loves shooting guns. Oh my gosh. He just goes through ammunition like crazy. He wants to shoot all the time. He doesn't want to just load that gun. He doesn't want to just put the ammo. The fun part is the pulling the trigger and releasing that thing. Well, once you get that faith in your heart, if you keep your mouth shut, it's the equivalent of loading the gun and never pulling the trigger. The target or whatever you're trying to take down or whatever you're trying to affect is not going to have any effect. And so many people don't open their mouth. The devil would love to get you quiet. And I'll say this because it came up, and I didn't write this down. And I didn't even remember that I was going to say this, but it just dropped in my spirit. Last week, the Holy Ghost said to me, as I was about to preach this, and I got on people, admonished people, that there were people in that service that have heard this and heard this and heard this and still and need things and still are saying nothing every single day about it. And the Holy Ghost just said this to me. It's not in my notes. It's not something I plan on bringing from South Dayton to here. The Holy Ghost just dropped it in me. That there are people right here, right now, watching in this service, that you're needing things, but you're still not saying it and expecting it to happen. You are loading the gun and just holding it and saying, why isn't my target? Why isn't there no holes in the target? Why is the deer still standing there looking at me? Why is nothing happening? Putting it in your heart is one thing, but then it's to be released out of your mouth. Go to Romans 10 and verse 10. Praise God. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. What's he talking about here? In context, he's talking about the promise of salvation. Righteousness is just was obtained through salvation. He's saying with the heart you believed it. So when you got enough word in there, belief rose up in the inside. This is for me. I can be saved. I don't have to go to hell. I can receive Jesus with the heart. But you actually didn't walk into salvation until you opened your mouth. Or you could say it this way. You never actually experienced the manifestation until you opened your mouth. You can think that you did, but you really never got saved until you opened your mouth. Well, you can interchange anything there in verse 10. For with the heart, man is going to believe unto their healing. You're going to hear the word. Faith's going to come in your heart. You're going to first believe it. But with the mouth, confession is made unto the manifestation of that promise. Amen. With the heart, man will believe for abundance or prosperity or increase. But with the mouth, confession is made unto the realization or the manifestation of that. You can't have the manifestation without the process of the believing and the speaking. If you go back to Mark 11, and again, these stories are written for us to have examples. In Mark 11, in verse, let's see here, not Mark 11, Mark 5 in verse 28. Mark 5 and verse 28. Well, actually, go to verse 27 first. Mark 5 and verse 27. You're going to see Romans 10:10 in action. With the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made. In Mark 5 and verse 27, it says, when she heard of Jesus. Well, when she heard of Jesus, she's hearing the word. What happens when you hear the word? Faith comes. Where? In your heart. Well, that's where it starts, but then it's got to be released with your mouth. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind to touch his garment. So we know belief showed up. That's why she got out of her house and was going in the press. But then look what it says in verse 28. For she said. The Amplified says, for she kept on saying. That means that as she's walking down there with her belief, she's not just keeping her belief cooped up or penned up. She's releasing her faith. Remember, Jesus said, that's faith. And what is faith? Believing and speaking. And she's saying, if I just touch his clothes, if I just touch the clothes, if I just touch his clothes, if I just touch his clothes. What? She's releasing what she believes. Because why? The releasing of it is what brings the manifestation or the realization. Hallelujah. And we're going to look at what we always look at, Mark 11. But if you don't start opening your mouth and saying things, stop expecting for change. Or you could say it vice versa for last week. If you're just opening your mouth without putting faith in your heart and expecting change, stop believing for change. They go hand in hand. Have you ever got to the place, or am I the only one? And I'm saying, am I the only one very sarcastically? Am I the only one that you get in a rut and you just magically think God's just going to do it? That it's just going to happen if he wants to, or just because I'm a good person, or I go to church, or I'm faithful, it'll just happen. I'm just waiting for my finances to change. I'm just waiting for my body to change. Has anyone ever fallen into that rut? And then you recognize, when you hear a message like this, wait a minute, I have a part to play. And maybe I'm not playing my part. See, we have to get out of this idea that God will trump what he's already said and violate himself just to come down and reach you in your situation. We are not so special that God will make himself a liar. I'm not that special. God can't lie. Amen? Hallelujah. And if he said, you got to say it. Now go to Mark 11. Mark 11 and verse 12. Mark 11, 12. I'll tell you, I preached this last week, meditating on a week, and as soon as I'm preaching it and doing it right now, I'm thinking, okay, I got to pick up the slack in that area. So I know if it's happening to me, it's happening to you too. I know it is. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Basically, Jesus cursed the fig tree. He said, no man's going to eat fruit from you. You're going to be... Now, I've had this question asked to me, and I just probably should just say it when I preach this. If you go back to verse 13, it says, and there was a fig tree afar off having leaves. He came, if happy he might find anything thereon. And when he came, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And people say, if the time of figs was not yet, which it wasn't, why was Jesus so mean and petulant and like a little child and curse that tree? Well, don't you think Jesus, being in that culture, would have known what a fig tree can do and can't do? Don't you think Jesus would have known when the season of figs was? Absolutely. But you have to know something about the fig tree. When a fig tree has leaves, fully developed leaves, it should also have fruit on it. And so when Jesus looked and saw a fig tree already having the leaves, he came over to think, this might be a fig tree that came into bloom or produced fruit early. Amen. He wasn't petulant, grumpy, mad at the fig tree that day. But also the fig tree, I believe, has some representations of Jerusalem. Of what? Looking a certain way, but having no fruit on it. Right? And he cursed it and said, that's not what I like. Because this fig tree was faking the part of looking like I got fruit on me and there's nothing there. And that's what the Israelites were. Yeah. they looked like they had the fruit, but they didn't have the fruit. They denied him, right? But anyways, that's why Jesus did. He didn't just get mad and Jesus didn't understand, all of a sudden forget that he lives in Jerusalem in the time of figs. People ask that. I forget to explain at times. But anyways, he answered it in verse 14. He said, "No man eat fruit from you hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. He didn't think it. He said it. Now, if you go to verse 21 or verse 19, when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by the fig tree, dried up from the roots. So it changed. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, "Master, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away." Well, if that would have happened immediately, he would have said, "Wow, look, you just said that to the fig tree." But when Jesus said it the day before, nothing happened naturally to the eyeballs. It wasn't until the next day that they saw it happen and Peter remembered and said, "Wow, look, it's cursed, it's withered away." Now, this is so astounding what Jesus says next. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Now, remember, the New Testament's not written in English, it's written in Greek. And in my margin, it tells me what the original Greek is intended to say. Have faith in God is applicable, and it's right. You do need to have faith in God. He's the one that comes through in your faith. But the more rendering of that, and you can see it in the story about how what Jesus did and then what Jesus said to do, and then knowing how God creates things, the rendering of the Greek should say, have the faith of God, or have faith like God has faith. Remember, so he's saying to him, Jesus, something natural changed by you speaking to it. And Jesus' response was, have faith like God. So basically what he's saying is, what does God do? God changes things in the natural by saying things. And Jesus used that as an example, but then Jesus just goes on to say, I'm not just here to show off my skills and knowing the word and faith. I'm giving you a lesson of what your life can look like. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, now he's talking to the people right there, but then he starts talking to all of us and he says, that whosoever, so now he's saying this principle, or now he's saying everybody has the potential to have faith like God has faith. Think about that. Jesus is telling you how to do something like God does it. And think about God's track record. He's never failed. It's never not worked for God. So guess what? If we can have the God kind of faith, we can have a track record like God has, where it works. He said, just like God. Well, if it's just like God, that's also undefeated. That's also perfect faith. That's also never failing faith. Like, you do realize that faith should not be a crapshoot. Yeah. Oh, come up seven. My faith. No, that's not what faith is. Remember what faith is? Faith is assurance. Yeah. It's confidence. Yeah. It's sold out. It's persuaded. It's not wavering. No doubting at all. He said, and when God walked in faith, I'm guessing God never wondered if it would work. I'm guessing God was never unsure if this is the time it just might not happen. No, it always happened. And Jesus is telling you, I've never seen it like that before till right here, right now. So, wow, what a service Pastor Mike got a revelation in. I'm glad I came. That Jesus is telling me that I can have the exact kind of faith that God Almighty has, which translated means faith that never not works. That's pretty awesome. You say, we really? No, Jesus gave us that permission. He said, have the faith of God. I'm telling you, do it like God does it. Praise God. He said, have the faith of God. And he said in verse 23, for verily I say unto you, and now whosoever, if you'll say to the mountain. So now he's telling you how to deal with your mountains. See, the fig tree represented a mountain. Now, in the grand scheme of life for Jesus, was it that great of a mountain? Not really, in the sense that, you know, it wasn't like he's going to starve to death because it didn't have it, right? It's not like, but it was a representation of something in his way. a representation of something that wasn't meeting his needs, right? It was a representation of poverty and lack is what it was. And Jesus is saying to us, it doesn't just stop at little things, fig trees. We're talking mountains now. If you'll say to the mountain, well, we know we can make a mountain out of a molehill. But sometimes, naturally, we actually face mountains, right? I mean, sometimes, especially if you're emotional at times, has anyone ever fallen into the trap of being emotional? I always appreciate the non-emotional people. Although sometimes the non-emotional people have kind of a serial killer kind of vibe in them. Sometimes I'm emotional. I wear my emotion on my sleeves, and I, you know, maybe make a purchase right away or respond right away. And I learned I should have kept my mouth shut. I reacted emotionally, right? Have you ever reacted emotionally? That can get you into trouble. Amen. That can get you into trouble. And sometimes we make a mountain out of a molehill, don't we? And then we realize, well, it wasn't that as big of a deal. But there are times there are literal mountains in our way. Things that have impossible, things that have no hope, things that have no way out, things that there's no natural answer, things that nobody can help you with. Those are mountains. But I love it that he went from a fig tree, which is just kind of a minor inconvenience, which thank God faith works for minor inconveniences, all the way on the spectrum of the problem scale from fig tree and minor problems to mountain major problems. What's he saying? Faith covers it all. And here's the awesome thing, is he is the one giving us the permission. And if he didn't want me to take him at his word, he should have kept his mouth shut. But he didn't. He opened his mouth, forever giving me permission to use what he said. And he said, if you'll say to the mountain, be removed and be that cast in the sea and not doubt in his heart, there's that belief, and shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have what he says. Not what he thinks, not what he wants, not what he needs, not what he deserves, not what he wishes for, not what he daydreams about. The saying, remember Romans 10:10, with the heart man believes, but with the mouth. The having comes through the saying. No saying, no having. And that's why when the Holy Ghost arrested me last week, I said, wow, even in this service, I was speaking by word of knowledge. And then reminded me again last week of that word, that it's applicable here today, that there are people in this service, you need things. You need changes. You want changes. You deserve changes. It's time for changes. But you're expecting changes. Your own way. Your own thought. Like your own doctrine. You got to go through his doctrine. No saying, no having. It's the truth. Praise God. And I received that correction. Praise God. So he's saying to you, the way you're going to get things is through saying. Saying, saying, saying. Saying, saying. Now go to Isaiah 55. I love Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 explains some things to us. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Now, to me, the way my brain works at times, it's a little different, I think, than some. Not a good way. I don't mean that in a good way. But I myself like to be involved in the doing and the hands-on. It feels like more is being accomplished, right? It feels like more is being accomplished, that like hands-on. That's why the whole idea of a smart car driving itself is like, no. My brain can't wrap, I can't wrap my head around, you know, taking that control. Why? Because I like to have control. That's why I don't like horses. I should say riding horses. I see Jaylen, she gave me the dirty look after I said that. She loves horses. She rides horses. I don't like riding them. Why? I don't feel in control. And when one of my faithful people get thrown into a horse trough, Julie, it doesn't give me the motivation to hop on one. She knows how to ride a horse, but I don't like not having that control. That's why I hate flying airplanes. Because the way my brain works, it's like I am sitting here in this flying tunnel with wings, and I have zero control right now. And my brain doesn't like that. So when it comes to this kind of stuff, if your brain works this way, you'll understand this, that when he says, all you have to do to get a mountain to move is get some faith in you and talk to it. It's hard for me to wrap my head around how I can be laying in bed at night with sickness raging against me, finances, situation in my life, and all I have to do is open my mouth and say, money's coming. Yeah. Healing's coming. It's hard for me to get my mind around that that's doing anything. And that's why people become world champion warriors, because when you worry and you're replaying over and over in your head, it feels like you're accomplishing something, but you're not. You're wasting your time and energy. But when you sit there and replay it over and over, in your flesh and in your mind, it feels better to your flesh and your mind than just sitting there calmly and saying, mountain move. Because what is mountain move doing? Oh, it's doing everything. Praise God. And Isaiah 55 explains this to us. And I love what he starts it with. He said, listen, right off the bat, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. Right off the bat, he says, right now, throw away how you think. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. He's saying, right now, he's saying, throw away how you think. Throw away how you do things. Don't care. Doesn't matter. Just know we don't do things the same. We don't think the same. Why is he telling you that? Because to get the next principle, he's saying, you got to start with that. Because how we're gonna show you to change things will not make sense to your mind. I'll tell you, people struggle with the area of giving, and when they don't understand, when they try to figure out in their mind, how by releasing more do I actually get more? Well, naturally that doesn't make sense, but it doesn't have to make sense naturally. That's his way. It's his way of sowing and reaping. The more you give out, the more you get. Doesn't make sense naturally. The more I give out, see, the more I would lack. No, it's the more you get back. But that's his way of doing things, praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now here we go, verse 10. I'm going to break this down for you. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, it's talking about precipitation coming out of the sky, and it doesn't return there. We don't see it hit the ground and go back up. It hits the ground and it saturates the ground. And what's it do? It waters the earth. Now, when it waters the earth, rain is and snow are for a purpose. You know, a lot of times when you talk about the elk people out west and stuff and where the elk are feeding and how the crops and things, it all had to do with the snowfall and different things. Because the snow and the rain that comes down, it does something to the atmosphere. It waters the earth for what? A purpose. It makes it bring forth and bud. So when it waters the earth, it causes the earth to change. When the earth brings forth and bud, it's something that wasn't there is now there. A change happens. But the change that comes forth is for the good. It says that it brings forth the bud. It changes. Why? That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So it's changing for beneficial purposes. Well, we know that works that way. You know, we don't have to be farmers to know that's how these things work. But he's not just giving us an agricultural farming lesson. He's trying to teach you how to get change in your life. He's saying, so shall my word be that goes forth. So now he's going to compare his word to the rain and the snow. When my word goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return, just like the rain and the snow. Unto me void, but it shall accomplish that why please. What happens when it goes forth? Remember, the rain goes out, and what's it do? It saturates the earth. And he's saying, it's going out, and it'll accomplish that why please. What's it doing? When the word goes out, it's saturating. And what's it doing? It shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. So he's saying to you that his word spoken, or his word going out, acts the same way as the rain and the snow. It acts the exact same way as the rain and the snow. What's the rain and snow do? When it goes out, it hits, saturates, causes change for the better. He's saying, when my word goes forth, and remember, you say, well, that's God. No, Jesus told you, have faith like God has faith. When God wanted change, what did he do? He opened his mouth. Well, remember the Bible said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth? and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face, hovered upon the face of the deep. There was darkness there, right? God wanted that changed. So what did he do? He opened his mouth and spoke the word. The word went out like the rain. It saturated the darkness, caused the darkness to change. What happened? Light sprung forth. That was the bud, the sun. What did the sun do? Cause blessing. That's how he does things. When he wanted Abraham to become a father, what did he do? I change your name from Abram to Abraham. He saturated the atmosphere with his word, father of many nations, right? It saturated the atmosphere, caused forth to bring forth the bud. What? Sarah got pregnant. The baby was born. A blessing for Abraham and Sarah. And Jesus told you, before he went on to tell us the mountain story, Mark 11:23, the verse we talk about maybe more than anything around here, he said, I just cursed the fig tree because I just showed you how God does things. And I'm going to show you how you're going to do things too. When you need a change, you're going to do the exact same thing I did to the fig tree. You're going to do the exact same thing God would do with Abraham. And you're going to do the exact same thing God did when he created the earth. Now remember though, when Jesus opened his mouth and cursed the fig tree and when God spoke it, those weren't words laced with doubt. The belief part was already taken care of. So if you will open your mouth with belief words and declare, you'll get God kind of results. Amen, you will. And so he's saying, so when you speak, what good does it do for me to be laying there in bed at night and I'm broke to just simply say, money will come? Because remember, when you're speaking faith, you're just speaking the word because the word and faith are tied together. You can't separate the word and faith because faith only comes from the word. They're interchangeable. Faith is the word. And so when faith comes out of your mouth, it's just the word coming out of your mouth. Well, what's going out? God's word is going out. Well, we've seen the kind of power God's word can put a sun in the sky. You ought to go watch a sunrise or the moon come up at night. I was watching the moon one night come up over the horizon, and it was when it was a full moon, and it was, I think it was when it was the strawberry moon a month or two ago. And I looked at that, I thought, oh my, that thing is beautiful and gorgeous, and well, there's one of them for the whole world to see. God did one moon for the whole world, and he put it there with his words. There was no moon, and he put that thing there with his words. And Jesus said, now you say, well, I'm going to go out and create a moon. Well, you could moon people, but that might be the only moon you can create. I don't suggest you do that, but you don't need to create a moon, obviously. It's not for your life, he's talking. For the things you need, for the changes you need, for the life you need, anything that you need, it'll work by opening your mouth and speaking it. It'll work, praise God. It will work, praise God. Your words are either causing drought in your life or harvest in your life. How are they causing drought? You're not saying anything. What's that likened to? No rain and no snow coming out. When you refuse to talk, you are causing drought in your life. But when you'll declare the word over and over and over and over and over again, till when? Till it shows up. You're causing a harvest. Now, I want to finish this story. I finished it last week. I've told it here before, but it's wonderful. You know, I think of also the story of when Brother Hagin, the woman that came up for the growth on her face. You know, she's embarrassed by it. It was big, and it wasn't very, you know, nice looking, and she just was really self-conscious about that. And so Brother Hagin laid hands on that, cursed that. She was in full belief, and nothing happened naturally, you know. It's like Jesus cursed the fig tree. Tomorrow we're talking about patience in South Dayton. We're going to talk about patience here next week, and we'll talk more about some of these things. But anyways, it didn't change. And Brother Hagin told her, said, anytime you see it out of the corner of your eye, you feel it, look in the mirror, anytime it comes up in your mind, just thank the Father that when I had hands laid on me, cursed, dried up, this thing's going to be leaving my body. I think she woke up for 11 days after being prayed for by the foremost prophet on planet Earth, laid hands on her, and she's waking up day 7 and not a thing's changing. You talk about discouragement. But she had something in her that said, faith always works. Faith always works. And she kept saying it. She kept saying it. Why? What was she doing? Continuing to water. That was a drought that needed watered and watered and watered and watered, and it produced a harvest. The 11th day she woke up and felt it and was gone. And Norval Hayes, he was another guy that ran around with Brother Hagin and people like that, and was in Pastor Nancy's church in the latter part of his life before he went home to be with Jesus a few years ago. And he told the story of how he went into a church for a set of meetings, and the pastor said, "Would you come to the hospital with me and pray? There's a young couple that just newly married, and the husband is, he's on his deathbed. He's gonna, you know, they're saying he's gonna die any day now." And so, "Yeah, I'll go pray for him." Went there, and the wife's there, and they asked, "Can we pray?" And he was in such a bad condition, they had him so quarantined off and just isolated. They said, "No, we're not letting anybody in. It's just that dire. It's just, he's about ready to go." And I don't know all the reasons why they wouldn't let him, but the point is they wouldn't. And the pastor said, "Look, I'm this people's pastor. We need to pray for him." And they coerced him. They said, "You have 30 seconds to a minute or something." It was very, very brief. That's all you have, the time to go in there. And, well, 30 seconds to a minute, like, Norval Hayes is starting to think, what can I accomplish in 30 seconds to a minute? You know, I want to help these people. This woman is desperate. They're young and just married, and here he is about ready to die. And so he turned to God and said, "Father, what do I tell her in 30 seconds? What can I say that's going to change things for her in 30 seconds? See, what I love about Norval Hayes, notice he didn't just say, "Well, I got 30 seconds. All I got to do is go in there and curse that thing and leave and it'll be done." No, there's spiritual laws to things. If we could just go into every sick room and lay our hands on everybody, we would do it. You have to be discerning. Now, I'm not saying don't let that hinder you from laying hands on people. But when the Holy Ghost is telling you, that's not, like, there's other things here in play. But anyways, that's beside the point. I just appreciate someone that followed the Holy Ghost. What am I going to do in 30 seconds? And the Holy Spirit said these words up from his heart. "Tell her this. Mark 11:23 will work for her if she'll do it." It's all the Holy Ghost gave her. So he went into her and said, "Lady, Mark 11:23 will work for you if you'll do it." And he told her what it was. He said, "Every time you're in here, you be saying the power of God's working. All day long, say the power of God's working, the power of God." See, when you start to think about that power saturating and breaking things down, hallelujah, hitting the mountain, chipping away at that mountain, those powerful words, praise God. What did the woman with the issue of blood? She kept on saying. Yeah. Remember the revelation Brother Hagin had about you're going to have to do three times the saying as believing? In Mark 11:23, saying's mentioned three times, believing's mentioned once. He said you're going to have to do three times the saying as the believing. And so he told her that. So she thought about it every day. And I can't remember how much time had passed. Need to brush up on my story, apparently. But anyway, how much time has passed. And he's in a coma, and all of a sudden, his pinky moved. And that was the first, and it was such a victory, and it just motivated her. And she just kept day and night saying it. Well, he got healed and raised up, and he went back to the church a year later and saw that couple in the foyer. He said, "Oh, that, look, they're doing great. Oh, everything's great." And the guy said, the pastor said, would you like to go meet the husband? And he said, "No, I want to meet the wife, you know. She's the star of the show here." Yeah. So he went up to her and said, "Lady, what'd you do?" She said, "I did everything he said for me to do. I said it nonstop. When I was awake, I was saying the power of God's working in my husband's body. He will not die. He will live." Well, what did the Holy Ghost say? Mark 11:23 will work if you'll do it. But isn't that the whole thing? If. And if the Holy Ghost in two services with somebody who has Mark 11:23 plastered out on that wall and in the warehouse had Mark 11:23 plastered and talks about Mark 11:23 all the time. If the Holy Ghost is testifying in both of these churches that there are still people in these services that are not doing it, well, it's time for us to start doing some things and making some changes. She just took him at his word. That woman with the growth took Brother Hagin at his word, and she just kept saying, "This growth's dying, it's going away, it's cursed, it's dried up, it's going away." Do you know how, during that 2 years, I mean, I would call my mind, I don't know how many times a day, hundreds if not thousands a day, money's coming. Remember the story about Brother Hagin? He's dealing with millions of dollars worth of debt for Rhema. They don't have the money, it's not coming in. And Dr. Dufresne sitting with him in a back room at a dinner, and he sees Brother Hagin's lips moving just real slowly. And he's like, what's he saying? And he comes up, pulls his chair up to listen to what Brother Hagin's saying, and he listens, and Brother Hagin's saying, what's he doing? Saying. Why? Saying how you get to heaven. Saying. And if you're just saying it once a week, once a month, you don't want it bad enough. I'm sorry, you don't want it bad enough. You know when I'll tell you, Abby has a problem. She has got that hoarding thing. And you mix that with also this problem she has of wanting everything and then keeping everything she acquires, it's bad. And so Abby will say all the time, I want this, I want that. Christmas time is hell on earth. It's I want everything. I have to just go pray just to be around my daughter. Lord, give me the peace. And we're training her and teaching her. But she wants everything. Well, I'm not certainly going to buy her everything, but I also love my daughter and want her to have a good Christmas and a good birthday, and I like to bless her, and I want to get her meaningful things and things that she's going to use. Well, my goodness, if I just went by everything that she said, I'd never know. But you know how I hone in the stuff she really wants? The stuff that she's saying over and over. There's things she says I hear it one time and I never hear it again the rest of my life. And then there's things that I don't ever stop hearing until it shows up into her life. Well, there's part of that, you know, is carnality and things that I gotta work on. But there's a part of that feistiness and spunk in her and fight in her that said if Christians would act like that with their faith, they'd start seeing some more things. And I know, oh, she really is serious about that because she will not stop talking about it. Then I know. Well, you're not really that much that hungry. And did the Bible say, blessed are they which hunger? Yeah. Oh, I confess for my healing and then stay sick for a month. Where's my healing? I confessed for it. You weren't after that thing. You weren't contending for it. You weren't pressing. Hallelujah. I would say safe to say we have some room to come up higher. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So we looked at what we do. We release it, get it in your heart, start releasing it. Every day you ought to say on purpose. Every day. I used to have a list of confessions on my iPad. I bet if you scrolled down through it, you'd see it from years ago. But now they're all in my heart. I know them by heart because why? I say them every single day. Today I drove to a certain place that I enjoy being at, and I just walked around confessing into the atmosphere what's going to come to pass in my life. I do that every day. Not drive to that spot every day and do that, but every day I confess. Every day I confess. Every single day I confess. And you know what happens? You keep hearing testimonies from your pastor. Well, that would happen in your life. What if you took this seriously? What if you actually took Jesus seriously? Oh, he said, I'll have what I say. I guess I better say. Yeah. I haven't been saying. I wonder why I haven't been having. Well, now you know. And just like G.I. Joe told us, no one's half the battle. G.I. Joe said it. Right? Yeah. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for helping us tonight. We're going forward. We're going forward into more, into more, into more. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Just praise him. Just praise him. Just praise him. We're going forward into more. Going forward into more. Going forward into more through the open door. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we worship you, Father. We glorify you and magnify you. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you, we honor you, we honor you, we honor you, we honor you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yep, yeah, yep, yeah, yep. Yeah. You say, where's the growth? You say, where's the people? You say, where's the change? You say, where's all these things that Pastor Mike's prophesied about? But he says, where's the saying? Where's the confession? Where's the declaration? For you have left it. Yeah, yeah. For you have left it in his hands when the change is in our hands. So begin to declare people will come. Begin to declare the changes will come. Begin to declare the seats will be filled. Begin to declare the plan will go forth. Yes, yes. Ha. Huh? O tana inukuta nasete no soto ramasiti singutasa ha yeso to no sondro bundoskate se trete este yeah yeah. For there is opposition at a greater scale than on an individual basis when it comes to a church. There is great and much opposition that takes a corporate faith. For when James was taken captive, yeah. It was not only his faith that could get him out, and he couldn't get out on his own. Why? This was a corporate issue. It took the whole church to see that promise through. The growth, the changes, the prosperity, the differences, the going forth into all that's been prophesied will never happen from one man alone. For my words will fall short on their own, but with all of our words we'll see it come to pass. For you say, where? But he says, where's the confession? Where's the declaration? Ah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yep. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, went to try to close the service and just said, nope, there's something there. Well, I'm guessing that that was prophetic in the sense that how much are we declaring people are coming to Allegheny? The plans and purposes of God are getting fulfilled in Allegheny. People will come. People will come. Changes will come. The building will be paid off. How much? These are corporate things. We're talking about opposition and hindrances. That's why the whole church needs to be praying for the pastor. Because the pastor's not just dealing like a sheep on an individual basis. Now I'm speaking by revelation and inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Things that he's showing me as I'm opening my mouth and saying these things, that the pastor doesn't just deal with the same opposition that a sheep would just deal with on a regular day-to-day basis. It's almost like a corporate attack against him, just like when James couldn't get himself out of that, James needed the whole church to get himself out of that. And if you think it's a one-man show, we're going to miss out. Your pastor's going to struggle, and your pastor's going to be hindered, and your pastor's not going to walk into things. So we all need to be praying for me. We all need to be declaring for the people. We all need to be declaring for the $1 million, for the building paid off. We all need to be declaring for the miracle signs and wonders. It will not come from one person. For we say, where? But he says, where's the confession? Where's the declaration? Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Now I'm hoping that we all receive that correction and go forth in that. I know it's easy at times, especially with a pastor that does everything. I do the worship, I do the announcements, I do the music, I do the preaching. I've done everything here for 7 years, and it's just easy to just, he'll do everything, he's going to do everything. No, we're going to fail. We're not going to get there. We need the corporate faith released. Praise God. Thank you, Father. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit to reveal these things. I'll just kind of give you an insight of how it works. I was up here all of a sudden, I just had a check, can't close service, but I had no idea what it was about until he dropped it in me. But thank you for that revelation, Father. We thank you. And we declare corporately, people are coming. We declare corporately, the change is coming. We declare corporately, this plan that you have for us will come to pass. An abundance of miracles, signs, and wonders. We declare corporately the money will increase here. We declare corporately that all the needs of this place are met, fully funded, fully supplied. We declare corporately that this building is paid off in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You remember, don't you? You remember the Tower of Babel, don't you? Remember what the Lord said when they all started saying the same thing. Said, we can't have this. What could they accomplish by being on the same page, saying that they were doing it for wrong? But he was saying, there's great power possible when you get a group of people saying the same things. Please add to your confessions. The building paid off. The money comes. The people comes. The plan comes. Praying for your pastor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We praise you. I know everybody's saved here, but by live stream, if you're watching and you've not received Jesus, John 3:16 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, or Romans 10 tells that, but in John 3:16 says, if you'll believe in Jesus, that's with your heart, you won't perish but have everlasting life. It's not about church attendance. It's not about your good deeds outweighing your bad. It's about just believing in the Son of God. And that belief comes from your heart. It doesn't come from your head or your flesh. And so if in your heart you say, I know Jesus is real, I just know it. I can't explain it maybe with my mind. I don't understand all, but in my heart, I know Jesus is real. Just believe in him. And Romans 10 and verse 9 is the outline. Confess it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Just simply pray a prayer sounding something like this. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again, and I am asking you to come into my heart. I make you my Lord and my Savior. I, I want you to be a part of my life. If you'll pray that prayer, God will save you. God will become a part of your life. The word will be available to you. Faith will be available to you. Send me an email. Give me a phone call. Let me know you prayed that. I want to help you in your next steps. Father, thank you for... We received a lot tonight. Praise God. I mean, I think about the sandwich we had tonight. We started with the word. We had, which was the bun. Then we had the message, which was the meat. And then we had the next bun, which was another word. Wow, what a service. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're good to us, Father. We love you and praise you. Give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you run out of here, don't forget, if you need prayer, come on up. Love to lay hands on you. Also agree with you. And then don't forget, we don't have midweek service this week, but we'll see you back here next Saturday for part 5. Love you. Appreciate you. You're dismissed. Hallelujah.